Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
And this morning, we're going to jump into a new series entitled Think on This. And as you think about the Reformation, the beauty of the Reformation, the significance of the Reformation, that was that it brought back to light the beauty of God's grace and really our dependence upon God's grace and our need for God's grace and the fullness of relationship that is available to us, not because you're praying penance at a church and doing that, which what was going on at the time, but that it's totally our eyes are fixed in faith. Our face is turned to the glory and the majesty of Jesus Christ, which it's all based on. And Martin Luther took that step. And so this morning, as we dive into this message, the big idea of this series is this, is that God's desire is that we would live a full life. God's desire for you, no matter where you're at right now, is that you would live a full life. That you would experience the fullness that is available to you in so many capacities, that I would experience the fullness that is available to me in so many capacities. And this morning, if you would go to the book of John chapter 1, that's the fourth gospel in the New Testament. If you're not sure where that's at, just look at your neighbor, copy off of them. It's okay to copy in church, right? But look there, find the gospel of John chapter 1. And the big idea of this message really comes from John chapter 1. As John is pondering, I love this word. I learned it a couple of years ago from our district superintendent, and I'm like, I'm going to steal that word. That's just a cool word. The word is splendiferous. How many have ever used that word, splendiferous, ever in a statement before? Brian's like, I'm there. But it's just like, I can just hear Sylvester the cat saying splendiferous, right? But splendiferous means glorious. And John is pondering the splendiferous reality of the eternal God stepping into our time-space continuum, our time-space landscape as he writes these words. Look at it, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father full of grace and truth. Verse 16 is our key text for the day. From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. The NSV version translation of Scripture, from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Think about that in verse 16. It could be translated this way. That word grace becomes so common to us, it loses kind of the punch of it, the power of it, but it could be translated, verse 16 could be translated this way, grace after grace after grace after grace. Grace and more grace is what John is saying. John is saying God showed us favor after favor after favor, that God's grace is greater. It was grace, grace beyond comprehension. The grace that should lead us to a full life, verse 16, causes me this week to ponder this thought. Are you filled with his fullness? When you look at your life, when you look at your relationship and what you know that perhaps what your relationship with the Lord should be, and you look at the landscape of your life and things that are unfolding in your life, are you filled with his fullness? From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Now, Steve, what are you talking about when you're talking about his fullness? Well, over the next several weeks, we're going to kind of unpack that, but I'm talking about faithfulness. regardless of people's faithlessness, how many know Jesus is always faithful? Right? I'm talking about peacefulness. In spite of what has been going on around us, Jesus was always peaceful in his soul. It's amazing. You think what was unpacking and what was unfolding in the life of Jesus leading in the days, I mean, we celebrate communion today, and in the hours that were before him, even in those moments, there was this peacefulness within Christ. When we think about fullness, I think about thankfulness. I look at Jesus and I think that he modeled a life of thankfulness. And then if we go 4 weeks in this thing, we'll probably look at joyfulness, because in light of Jesus and his coming, what did he say? That I've come to give you life, and life to its what? Fullness. Abundance. However, whatever translation you want to look or use. Over the next several weeks, we're going to look at these fullness words, and by his grace, my prayer is that these fullness words would be lived out in greater capacity in our lives. There's something of his fullness that he modeled, and the grace that he extends that makes it doable to live this way, that you can be full of it, of his fullness. And when a vessel is full of something, it runs over, right? It affects others, right? I mean, you think about times when you know people that have been full of grace or full of joy. I mean, how many know somebody that they're just like a joyful person, right? And you get around them and you're just like, I like being around them. I laugh. And then how many, you know, there's like Eeyore people. How many know, don't look around, but how many know some Eeyore people? You're just like, man, that's just not, like, you know, that's just not fun. Because whatever we're full of, that's what comes out of us. And so I want to, man, my prayer is that we would be full of these attributes of Christ. How many know, you can't give grace if you've never received grace. You can't extend peace to people if you don't know peace. From his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. How do you receive that fullness? I think by one means of this is by grace, by grace, by grace, and for grace. So today, let's talk about this word. Let's talk about faithfulness. Why does Jesus extend his faithfulness to you and I? I think as we unpack these over the next several weeks, he extends it to us so that it can flow through us. He wants us to be that, but he also wants it to flow through us. And so this morning, our example is going to be in Luke chapter 22. We're going to use the faithfulness that Jesus demonstrated to Peter as an example for us, as a springboard for us. If you're like, who is Peter? Peter was one of the 12 followers of Jesus, one of the apostles, early apostles of the church. He was, when you see his name, a list of the disciples in the four gospels, he's always mentioned first. And the richness of our relationship, the relationships that you and I have, that we possess, the basis of our relationships are on our faithfulness. And Jesus is this incredible example of faithfulness to us. And so today I want you to think on this. I want you to think on faithfulness. Through this week, I want you to think on faithfulness. Because how many know, to be filled means to be rich. You have this abundance, and yet to be poor, when you see poverty talked about in Scripture, it means to be in need, it means to want, it means to be empty. And God wants you to be full. He wants me to be full. Jesus was rich to us in faithfulness, and the richness of that faithfulness is based, we reciprocate that back to him. He's faithful to us, and we should be faithful to him. right? Faithfulness, I mean, you just break it down in life, right? You think, you break it down, you break it down to marriage, and faithfulness in marriage is so important and so crucial for all of us. I mean, none of us stood at the altar one day and thought, you know what, I want you to be unfaithful to me. None of us expect that. None of us desire us. None of us deserve that. Faithfulness at work is important. How many know that's true? Right? I mean, if you're a boss, you want faithfulness out of your employees, right? I mean, none of us show up at work and, you know, if we show up at work and we have this attitude that says, you know what, I've been here for 2 months now, and I just have this thing that you owe me something now. I've showed up pretty much on time every day. I've worked hard, and I want you to treat me exactly like you treat the guy across the way that's been here for 15 years because I've been here for 2 weeks. Faithfulness does something. It's important. There has to be consistency of faithfulness in our life, and our richness in relationship is determined by often how faithful we are, isn't it? Jesus and Peter's relationship, let's look at it. Jesus was very, very faithful to Peter. Faithfulness is part of his character and his nature, right? Revelation chapter 19, verse 11 tells us this of Jesus, that he is faithful and true. Peter wasn't that way back all the time, and aren't you glad that Jesus is always faithful and true no matter what you do? Because how many have had times where you weren't very faithful and true? Let's look at Luke 22, verse 31. Says this, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your prayer or that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. And Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. You will deny three times that you know me. As we look at this text, we're going to walk through it this morning. I just want to give you some highlights of faithfulness through this passage of Scripture that we can apply to our life. Number one is that this, Jesus was faithful to forgive. I think forgiveness is a hallmark of faithfulness. You can't have faithfulness if you don't have forgiveness. Relationships will always bring about disappointments, right? Relationships will always bring about frustrations. Relationships will bring about the opportunities to be burned and be betrayed. True? How many have ever experienced that in your life? You've experienced that, and all of us have done it, and all of us have received it. The hallmark of our faithfulness is our ability to forgive. Not just forgive a little, but I want to submit to you to forgive a lot. Jesus is looking at Peter. Now, capture this moment. Jesus is looking at Peter and saying, I know what you're about to do, and I know when you're going to do it. I know how many times you're going to deny me, Peter. Three times. Think about it. Think about this moment. As you look at this text, this passage of Scripture, I know what you're going to do. You're going to deny me. I know how many times you're going to do it. You're going to do it three. And you're going to do it not in a matter of days, Peter. You're going to do it in a matter of hours from now. Knowing all of that, what does Jesus say to Peter? I'm still going to be faithful towards you, and I'm going to forgive you. I mean, to sin, when we mess up, it's to miss the mark, right? It's this violation of a relationship with God, but it can be in violation of relationships with others. And Jesus said, I'm going to forgive you. And it takes us to the Last Supper, and Jesus told Peter, you're going to betray me three times. He told Peter that very night, you're going to betray me. And what does Jesus do on that night?
He knows that Peter's going to be unfaithful.
And in John chapter 13, Jesus grabs this wash basin and he begins to wash their feet. He begins to cleanse their feet from the muckiness of the road and the dirt and just the mire. And you know, there's only a few things in life. You know, one of them that I don't like, but the other thing that I don't really care too whole lot about is feet, man. You know, it's just like even when our boys were babies and their feet were so tiny and cute, I'd be laying there and they'd start putting their feet on me. I'm like, Austin, get your feet off of me right now. Right? Or it's just like, ugh, there's just nothing worse than feet. And Jesus just, he says, man, he grabs this basin and he begins to wash their feet. He begins to cleanse them. And you know what he's demonstrating in many ways? He wasn't just forgiving him on the inside. But it was an outward expression of that forgiveness on the outside, that he was willing to wash the muck and the mire, even off of Peter's feet, even though he knew hours away Peter would be the one that would be betraying him, denying him. He came to Peter, it says in verse 6, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand. Peter, later you will understand. When you hear that rooster crow, I was forgiving you, I was cleansing you before you even violated our relationship. Why is it so hard to forgive? We've all received his grace and forgiveness, but yet sometimes, man, it's hard to let it flow, isn't it? Think about examples in my own life, and I was thinking about some scenarios in my own life that I had opportunity to forgive or not forgive. I mean, how many know when you get thrown under a bus for stuff and no one helps you, you know, as that bus comes towards you, but they throw you under the bus, so you take the hit instead of them? How many know you have opportunity to allow stuff to grow in your heart? And I think of a time when we were in youth ministry years ago and I was thrown under the bus for somebody. And someone significant in my life at the time made a statement to me, gave me a passage of scripture, and they said, hey, this is absolutely important that you walk out this passage of scripture. And so we began to do that as we were walking through that scenario, and weeks and months later I had opportunity to kind of reverse the favor, if you will. I had opportunity to throw somebody under, that person that threw me under the bus, I had opportunity to throw them back under the bus, but yet that scripture came to my mind, and God said, listen, if you're going to walk out forgiveness, you have to walk it out in every area of your life. Forgiveness has an outward expression of an inward condition of our heart. If I'm not willing to forgive, then I'm not going to express that forgiveness in a healthy way. In fact, it'll demonstrate unforgiveness. God will always ask you to show, God will always demonstrate what's going on in our heart, right? He'll always, I mean, out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks, where love abounds, grace abounds all the more, and we could go on and on. And here's just a practical point here, I mean, because we're like heading into holiday time, right? And so you're going to have Thanksgiving, you're going to have Christmas, you're going to have office parties, you're going to have neighborhood gatherings or whatever you do, and my guess is there'll probably be some people at the table that you're just like, Jesus, come quickly before that event happens. Because you have the opportunity to demonstrate God's faithfulness to you, that he was willing to forgive you, and so that you can extend faithfulness and forgive other people. Faithfulness. Jesus was also, secondly, was faithfulness to friendship. Jesus washing his disciples' feet, having this last supper with them. He is with his friends at the moment. How many know friendship is important? It's important to God. The Bible says this, that Abraham was a friend of God. Remember that song? It wasn't that long, like a decade ago, I'm a friend of God. It's a song that never ended. But yet it's such a scripturally profound and true song. Jesus said in John 15:15, as this night is unfolding,
I no longer call you servants because servants does not know what his master's business, but instead I have called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father I've made known to you. Jesus is saying, I want you to know this is who you are to me. Think about it. What's a friend do? And not Jesus and Peter as our example tonight or this morning. A faithful friend points out what needs to be corrected, don't they? Proverbs 27:6 says this, faithful, everyone say that, faithful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. It's important that we, I think, now be wise with this, obviously, but it's important of the things that we point out, that I have a responsibility as a friend. If I see my friend struggling with something or concerned about their behavior or their conduct, that I go to them and I say, hey, I see this in your life, and I want to be a friend to you, and I want to walk with you through this. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, not to hurt them, but to help them. And a true friend will come to me and say, hey, I'm concerned about some things that I see going on in your life, and I want to be faithful to you. So let's talk about these things. Jesus telling people, Peter, Satan has asked to sift you. I mean, how many of you would be a little bit offended by those words? Right? I mean, that's pretty hard. Like, hey, I just want you to know, Satan's asked to sift you. He wants to take you out. Jesus is saying that because of Peter's previous comments. And you'd be like, no. The spirit of slap just wants to come on you when someone talks to you that way, right? I mean, how many of you know, telling your kids what they need to hear. At times, you need to do that. And you know, you go to a friend, faithful are the wounds of a friend. But if those wounds aren't good wounds, if you're going to other people and talking about that friend. True? So if you're going to other people and talking about that person, you're not going to that person to talk about the problem, then you're the one with the problem. That's a sidebar. Let's go on. You have to have grace to give it with grace. You have to have experienced grace in your life to be able to communicate your concern with grace. You have to know how to receive it with grace. Right? John 15:13, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. We might not take a bullet for everyone, for each other, because you're like, man, I don't know that person over there. Why would I take a bullet for them? But all of us, because of the character and the integrity and the maturity level that Christ wants to develop in our heart, need to be willing to say, hey, wait a minute. Hey, don't be talking about that person that way. Have you gone to them? No, I haven't gone to them. Then shut up. Right? And when we go to someone and we talk to them about a concern, you know what? You have to give them, sometimes you just have to give them a little space to let them process being called on the carpet or being confronted with their issue. And they may be mad or angry right at the moment, but give them a little bit of space. That's what Jesus did. At times, and let them process it, but let them know that you are faithful to them, because they know that you aren't going to talk to this person, that person, but you're a true friend. Number three, let's get going because I'm running out of time. Faithful to pray. But I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. The New Living Translation puts it this way, but I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon.
I want to just submit to you, I want to encourage us, you know, oftentimes we get in conversation and at the end of the conversation, we wrap it up this way. Hey, I will be praying for you. Good thing to do, right? That's an honorable thing to do unless we don't pray for them. And all of us are guilty of that. Hey, I'll pray for you. And they come to you and say, did you pray for me? And you're like, oh, pray for me right now, please. Right? Because I failed. But how many, sometimes I think we got it a little bit backwards. Maybe prayer should be at the beginning of that relationship. Prayer is going to work on someone else's behalf. Prayer is using your influence with God for the betterment of someone else. Jesus is saying, I have asked my Father, I've asked my dad to give you what you need so that you can be and do what he needs you to be and do. Understand, Jesus is using his influence, all right? Jesus is using his influence with the Father to give you a better life. In Romans chapter 8, verse 34, it says of this of Jesus, that he is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. I love that. Jesus is using his influence to help your life. He has the Father's ear. And guess one of the names that he's whispering in his Father's ear is yours. Faithful friends put things out there in prayer before the Father. Faithful friends, faithful of the wounds of a friend, but also faithful of the prayers of the friend. Next, faithful friends prophesy. Look at it, verse 32. But I prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail, and when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Can I just submit to you this morning that you and I need friends that will see beyond where we're at the moment? Jesus was seeing beyond Peter's upcoming failure. That was just moments away, hours away. And you and I, we need friends who will strengthen us in moments, friends who will encourage me, encourage us, comfort us, right? You need to be that type of a friend as well. You say, well, Steve, I thought prophecy was all about speaking forth regarding future events. Well, it's part of that, but it's more than that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. It says this, but everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Jesus is speaking into Peter's future. And he is saying, I'm seeing more in the future than what he's seeing currently in his life. And we need that. We need those people who are calling things forth in our lives, don't we? Strengthening us, encouraging us, comforting us, walking alongside us, spurring us on. People who see you past the moment you're currently in. Who are those people in your life? And who are you being that type of person to? That you're calling things out of people. That you're speaking forth life and truth into their lives. And hope and strength and encouragement. And finally, we need friends who are faithful to the end. We've already kind of talked about this, but there's no faithfulness without longevity. Right? I mean, some of y'all that you've been married for 40, 50 odd years. Alexander's, how long y'all been married? 64 years. That's just like, I'm just like. But my ambition and my goal is to pass you. My ambition and my goal is when Robin and I are married 64 years, we're going to be walking at the YMCA and I'm just going to be chasing her. You know, I'm just going to be like, man, I want to go. I just love the example that they've set and they spur me on because I see examples of faithfulness all around us. And it spurs me on. Faithfulness, faithful to the end. John 13:1, having loved his own
who were in the world. He loved them to the end.
Listen, friends, the greatest ability often is stickability. Your ability to be faithful and stick it out. Jesus says when he comes back, he's coming for those who have been faithful to the end. To the end, those will be the ones who are saved, and we're called to be faithful. There has to be this commitment to longevity in our life. We need that for ourselves, but guess what? Others need that from us. Who? Let me ask you as we close this up, Michael and the worship team, if you guys would come. Who was the angel asking for? When you look in Mark chapter 16, Mary had come, goes back to the tomb where Jesus was buried. This angel is there having a conversation with Mary. And who is it that the angel asks for? He tells Mary, hey, go get the disciples, but specifically he asks and get Peter. And you think about that. I mean, if that was like modern day, and we think of when people are unfaithful in our lives, or we've seen unfaithfulness displayed, and with modern day and social media, I'm thinking that Peter, if it was modern day, Peter would be like, are you telling me that Jesus didn't defriend me? Right? He didn't unfriend me on my Facebook? We're still friends? We're still good? Go tell Peter. Can you imagine his response? Jesus wouldn't give up on Peter. Last night, we were just had a night at home, and we decided to watch a movie, and I picked the movie, bad decision. And I'd seen this movie, I don't even remember what it was called now because it was a real moving movie. But it was about this father-son who had gone on a hunting exploration, and the dad had gotten shot, and so the son was trying to carry him out of the backwoods. It was kind of a boring movie, to be honest with you, and Robin let me know, because I've let her know in some of the movies that she picked, I was like, you know, this is a real chick flick. And so it was a bad movie, but there's, I don't know when it was, but there was a time where she picked a movie, and it was a chick flick movie to the core. Many of you have probably seen it, The Notebook. Right? One of those movies where you just start crying in it. You know, I look over at Ryan or at Robin, and she's crying. I look at Robin or Ryan right now. He's crying just at the mention of The Notebook. I don't even know if he's seen it, but anyway. But we're, you know, and that movie kind of hits a little bit home for me, for us, because my mom dealing with dementia, and that's kind of the end of the storyline of that movie. The lady's dealing with that, and it's about the husband, and it's about this couple and their faithfulness to each other to the end. You know, your faithfulness is tested when you have options, isn't it? Should I go to church? Should I go to Dunkin' Donuts? Should I have the kids involved in church, or should I let them play sports on Sundays and Wednesdays because someday they might be on the Wheaties box? Faithfulness. Should I be faithful to my family, or should I let work dominate my schedule? Should I be faithful? Whatever the example is, it will be your faithfulness will be tested by options. As we leave here today, can I implore you, be faithful to the end. Even Jesus had options. He had the option to call a legion of angels to his protection and to his rescue.
but he chose faithfulness to the task that was before him. Faithfulness is steady, it's committed, and it's steadfast. And you and I need the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of the resurrected Savior to guide us and help us navigate that course, don't we? Think on this week. Think on faithfulness. And may you model it to the Lord. May the Lord model it to you. May you model it to others as they come into contact with you. Father God, as we bring this morning to a close, Lord, we want to be like you. We want to be faithful as you are faithful. Lord, I know Paul writes in 2 Timothy that you are faithful even when we're faithless. God, forgive us when we've been faithless, but thank you for your faithfulness to us. Lord, we want to be like you, but so often we find ourselves like Peter, lacking in faithfulness. And Lord, I pray that even in those moments when we fail, that we would fail forward into a loving God's arms, that Lord picks us up and puts us back on the course and tells us to run. Run the race that's marked before you. Run. Lord, may we be faithful in that. This morning, as you're here, before we close, I just want to give opportunity for response. I want to pray for you. If you look at your life and you think about this word faithfulness, and there's some things in your life where you're just like, man, Pastor Steve, would you just pray for me? Right where I'm at, where I just need a dose of faithfulness. I'm weary right now in life. I'm weary with this decision that I'm facing. I just need a strength. I want to be faithful. Would you just pray for me? I don't care what the issue is. I just want to be faithful. Would you just slip up your hand? I see those hands. God, we want to be faithful to you. Lord, all over this place this morning, you know the details as to why their hands are raised. And I thank you, Jesus, that you modeled faithfulness to us. And I thank you, Jesus, that you spoke to Peter, even though you knew what his unfaithfulness was going to be. You saw beyond that, and you knew how you were going to use him, and you knew that he would be faithful. And Lord, I pray for not only these that have their hands raised this morning, I pray for all of us. God, I thank you that within us there is the strength of the resurrected Savior that will spur us on, that will give us strength when we're weak. God, that will strengthen us in our moments of weariness. And God, that we can be faithful because you are faithful. So Lord, I pray life. I pray encouragement. God, I pray for wins, Lord, over their lives, that Lord, even this week, Lord, as they're battling maybe some big decisions or just weariness and they're just tired in body, Lord, I pray that the gentle wind of the Spirit would fill their sails. And God, that they would have the courage and the strength to take the next step, to finish the next day. God, to finish the day that they're in. And Lord, when they put their head on the pillow at night, God, that you would give them good rest. And they would hear you whisper to them throughout this week and throughout the coming weeks, faithful are you, my beloved child. I am well pleased, and I am with you always. And God, that they would just feel their spirit arise. God, I thank you for your faithfulness to us. God, if there's anyone here today that has not made a commitment to you, that does not know you as their Lord and Savior, God, great is your faithfulness to them, that you would extend salvation to them even this day as you have extended it to all of us. And Lord, may they know your great faithfulness and your great grace. And Lord, if anyone needs to make that commitment, I pray that they would come and find me after service, and I'd love to talk to them, pray with them, and encourage them. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your faithfulness to us.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.